Welcome to Between the Rows, where you get to hear the stories behind the stories in Canada's leading farm publications.
Between the Rows podcast is brought to you by Glacier Farm Media and sponsored by FCC Ag Expert, Canada's number one field and accounting software. Try it for free at agexpert.ca.
Hello and welcome to Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Dave Bedard. A lot has changed in a few short months, and Glacier Farm Media has had to make a huge change of plans for its annual Prairie Outdoor Farm Show. I'm talking, of course, about Ag in Motion, which for this summer has been rebranded as Ag in Motion Discovery Plus, an online and on-demand ag show running July 21st to 25th. Our first stop today on this episode is with Ag in Motion's show director, Rob O'Connor. Rob, hi, and welcome back to Between the Rows.
Thanks for having me.
Now, in my experience with farm shows and ag expos in general, it's a very tangible and tactile event for people attending. I mean, you want to see the welds and the equipment, you know, kick the tires, check out the test plots from the florets right down to the dirt, you know, look that cow right in the eye. You know, when it comes to a normal year, I mean, from your perspective, what's the appeal of the farm show to the farmer?
Well, I think you hit it right on the head. It's about letting people come and see the equipment, see the crops, see the livestock, and having that hands-on experience and the social interaction of talking to the exhibitors that are there and the other farmers that come to visit the show. But of course, with COVID-19 this year, that's just not possible. So we wanted to make sure that we still gave the opportunity for farmers to learn about the new equipment, the new services and crops and livestock that are available to them. And we wanted to make sure that those companies that want to promote and sell those products have a venue for them to do that as well. And therefore, we came up with this idea of having a virtual trade show and a seminar package called Ag in Motion Discovery Plus.
And now, how do you compensate, though, in bringing all that online? I mean, like, for instance, if we start with, say, with the big iron, the equipment.
Well, there's so much to plan for in such a short window of time. So we have to remember this has only been 8 or 10 weeks that we've been in this process, and the show is coming up here in just another 6 or 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to being able to see the big iron, our opportunity here is twofold. One is to have videos of demonstrations of the products in the field, any type of seeding product that was a little easier to get. The harvest products, we have to see if there's some footage that was filmed last fall of that, or if there's a way that we can film that yet this spring to bring to the show. And then the second thing is to have some seminar opportunities or webinars where those companies can speak about an issue in agriculture, whether it's a seeding, spraying, or harvest type of an issue, and can they solve it with a new process or a new piece of equipment. And then we talk along those lines with an interactive platform through a chat room.
Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed on the website that there's a discussion about the virtual, still having the virtual ride and drives and the side-by-side comparisons. How's that going to work, do you think?
Well, what we'll do there is we'll take several different types of equipment from different areas within the agriculture industry, whether it's sprayers or air seeders. And we will have video of each one of those pieces of equipment working, and then we'll take additional footage of the different parts of those machines that make them unique, and we'll discuss that while those demonstrations are happening online. And you can almost see it, if you can visualize it, it'll be like a replay of a sporting game on TV, whether it's a football or a baseball or hockey game. You get to go back and take a look at some of those events that happened within the game. And I think that's similar to what we'll be doing here. Here's an event that's happening, which is that cedar going through, and here's a little bit more in-depth look of what's happening over the next 3-4 minutes with that piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about the plot tours? I remember for years around the Glacier Farm Media shop, we would talk about how awesome it would be if we had a farm where we could do these sorts of things for the benefit of our readers, and now we do, but unfortunately, there's not everybody's going to be able to get out to the farm to see what's happening.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I think with the crop plot tours we're offering here, all the companies who've participated in the past of Ag in Motion have the opportunity to participate by utilizing the plots that they have, or some of them have their own research farms, and we can take some video footage of those crops plots as well. And we can put a package together where a farmer can actually go from plot to plot to plot, and again, see what those companies are promoting, whether it's seed genetics or fertility or some other process that helps improve a person's crop. And we'll be able to go from this stage to that stage and follow the crop right through till show dates.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, the Livestock Central exhibits are also going to change. You know, the cattle handling, the livestock equipment demos. I can see how that would work in the same way as the crop equipment demos. But you know, what can ranchers expect to see from exhibitors of living, breathing livestock?
Well, again, last year we started showcasing the different beef breeds with our beef breed showcase sponsored by Master Feeds. And what we'll do this year is something similar, but again, it'll be all video based. So the different beef breed associations or breeder groups will get together and just talk for a few minutes about what their breed offers and their experiences they've had either as a purebred breeder or as a commercial breeder, and talk about the different benefits those type of cattle bring to an operation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now when it comes to other exhibitors, you know, normally this is the part of the show where everybody gets their 10,000 steps and then some in per day. You know, if I'm exhibiting a product or service through Ag in Motion Discovery Plus, you know, what are my options for this year's show?
Well, every company that's participating in this platform will have its own landing page. So if you're still looking for a product or a service that's out there in the agriculture industry, you can come to this platform, the Discovery Plus platform, and look for those companies, and they'll have somebody online so that you can connect with them instantly. You can go through multiple chat rooms talking about different topics or seminar programs with different topics, whether they're just a simple presentation or whether it's actually a group of farmers talking on a panel about an issue. The different companies can participate in those different levels, as well as promote their own products on their own landing page. So there's lots of opportunities for farmers to engage with the different companies in the industry to search out those solutions to the issues that they have in their own operation.
Mm-hmm. Now, how much time, now, as you said before, it's just a matter of weeks away. How much time do exhibitors have to get in on Ag in Motion Discovery Plus? You know, are the crop tours, for crops for the plot tours, or for instance, are they already in the ground or?
Yes, so all the different crop plots have been seeded, and now those crops are starting to emerge, and you know, they'll be managed just like they would any other year, and then we'll use some photography to demonstrate how those different crops are growing. So that'll be available online through the Discovery Plus platform.
Mm-hmm. And as far as other exhibitors, how much time do they have left to get in on the show?
Well, what we're trying to do is have everything wrapped up the week of the 21st of June, mm-hmm. so that it gives us time to finalize some of the video production, because there is some editing that has to take place and some planning to put things into the schedule. Even though the schedule is 5 days long, it looks like we're going to be pretty short, or very tight, I should say, on the amount of time we can offer different companies to do things on the schedule. So we don't want to conflict too much, and we don't want to create a place where it's confusing for people to attend events because they overlap or they might conflict with one another.
And either way, it sounds like there's still going to be a lot for farmers to see. Rob O'Connor, thanks very much for your time.
Well, thanks very much, Dave.
Rob O'Connor is the show director for Ag in Motion, and this year, Ag in Motion Discovery Plus. You're listening to Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Dave Bedard. Along with all the new big iron and the livestock exhibits and other assorted entertainments, the new version of Ag in Motion is also promising to have a full slate of experts out there to talk to and with farmers about both the art and science of farming and how we can expect both to change in whatever the new version of normal ends up being. But show organizers are also looking to the immediate present. They hope to show farmers some of the up-to-the-minute research going on right now. Here to talk about that, we have our boss, Laura Rantz-Unger, the Vice President of Content for Glacier Farm Media and one of the regular hosts of this show. Laura, hi, and welcome to Between the Rows.
Hi, Dave. It's fun to be on this side of the microphone for a change.
So let's go first to the Knowledge Center at Ag in Motion. For those who haven't been to the show before, this is normally in the form of a huge tent and a schedule of experts on deck every day of the show. You know, obviously it's not going to be the same face-to-face time that farmers have come to expect.
No, it won't be. And I think that's one of the things that we're having to get our heads around as we try to pull together this kind of show. But in some ways, if you look at the scheduled speakers at the live farm shows, sometimes those tents aren't as full as you'd like them to be, simply because farmers are looking at the big iron and they are looking at the new technology and the field demos. I think with this kind of format, we're definitely seeing a higher level of interest in what that Knowledge Center can bring to the table as far as content.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we're still a few weeks out from the show, and the feature, some of the featured guests have yet to be announced. But what can you tell us so far?
Well, I've been really excited to see the level of interest. A lot of people are quite willing to participate in this new approach to delivering presentations and delivering knowledge. We have some. While we don't have a lot of things completely confirmed, we have some interesting keynote speakers coming forward. One of the keynote speakers that we will have and has agreed to come is the head of Microsoft FarmBeats.
Oh my gosh.
Which is an initiative to bring global agriculture sort of into the digital age. So I think that's going to be a very interesting session for people to come. We have some sessions that are looking at water management. We have sessions that will be looking at soil health. We have a lot of interest in sort of the theme that we've put forward here is on managing the new normal in agriculture. And one of the things that we want to really hammer home and bring to the table is some context around how this COVID-19 pandemic is driving change in the agricultural industry. And some of that change will be positive. I mean, the whole digitalization of transactions, for example, is something that is happening at a more frequently, I guess, as a result of the pandemic, and how farmers can look at some of the new technologies as a way to manage risk in times like we have, which are very, very uncertain.
Mm-hmm. And our own in-house experts are also on board for this new format.
Yes, we cannot have an event talking to farmers without bringing them up to speed on what's happening in global markets. So Bruce Burnett from Glacier Farm Media's Market Farm and Mike Jubenville from Markets Farm will be on hand to deliver presentations. We also have a kind of a different stream of content that's looking at research. And, you know, we've recognized that for a lot of the applied research organizations doing work on research farms and collaboratively with farmers across the prairies aren't able to host their usual field days this year, right? Mm-hmm. So we thought, well, we've got this platform, perhaps we can provide an opportunity for them to deliver virtual crop tours that help connect them with their constituencies and bring them up to speed on what's happening on those farms, but also be available to talk to farmers about things that are happening or questions that they may have doing crops in season.
And that's the that's what's built on the Ag in Motion website as the Living Labs component of the show.
That's the Living Labs component. There's the whole Livestock Knowledge Center that's coming up. We've got the Canadian Cattlemen's Association is going to have participate in a town hall to bring, you know, new issues and developments happening in the cattle sector to producers. We have a screening of the Guardians of the Galaxy film and a discussion around how that film is an example of how farmers can connect with non-farmers in ways that sort of help people understand the issues and understand the benefits of some of the things we do in agriculture.
Mm-hmm. Now, to stick with the Living Labs thing for a second, I know that Glacier Farm Media is wanting to get the word out to farm groups and to public and private sector researchers about it. What exactly is Ag in Motion providing to participants of this in the Living Labs?
Well, what we're hoping will happen is that organizations that would normally be hosting field days at their site to walk people through their plots, and I'm really focusing on the applied research organizations, but it could involve academic as well. We're really hoping that those organizations would come to us with, in some respects, a virtual presentation or update of what's happening on their farms, knowing that they can't host their usual field days. In some cases, they might be able to accommodate one or two farmers that wants to come and have a look around. But usually these groups, a very big part of their summer is reaching out to the farmers that are interested in the kind of work that they're doing, and giving them an update of some of the work that's happening and how it's looking in those plots. We can provide a platform where they could do a presentation to their constituents through our platform, through the Living Lab section. So really, if these groups have an interest in participating in that component of our program, they can reach out to me. My email address is lrantz@farmmedia.com. And we can work through just how we'd put that presentation together. It doesn't have to be a highly produced presentation. It could be just a discussion or a walk through the plots with a mobile phone. But it allows them to tell their story in a way that might not happen this year when we can't have open field days.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is a deadline, I gather, for groups interested in taking part in the Living Labs. It's June 21st, I believe.
Yes, we really need to know who's going to participate in this so that we have time to turn that material around and have it available for the online platform. What we're hoping to do is use pre-recorded sessions for the presentation part, but then attach that to a live chat component so that if farmers are watching it and they have questions, or if there's any kind of discussion, that we could host that as part of the presentation.
Mm-hmm. Bring back the interactive component that way.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, Laura, thanks very much for your time. It's something we'll be looking forward to seeing.
Thanks very much, Dave.
Laura Rantz-Unker is VP Content for Glacier Farm Media. You're listening to Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Dave Bedard. If we look at the very, very, very big picture, Canada's agriculture sector had a not bad year in calendar 2019. New figures on net farm income from Statistics Canada suggest that while not all provinces had a better year than in 2018, most did. So did the ag sector really go into this spring's COVID-19 pandemic in as rough a shape as some advocates suggest? Well, once we move in from the macro view, we see that a lot of that increased net income can be laid at the door of one particular crop, and not very many farmers got a piece of that action. Alan Dawson of the Manitoba Cooperator has been crunching these numbers, and he joins us now. Alan, hi, and welcome back to Between the Rows.
Oh, hi. Thanks a lot.
So if we're looking at the net, I guess we better start with the gross. How did Canadian farming do in terms of farm cash receipts this year, this past year?
Right. In 2019, they were up 6% to $66 billion. So that's a fair increase.
Mm-hmm. And now, as far as one of the main cash crops this year, it looks like not all provinces necessarily shared the wealth in terms of cannabis, but that seems to be the big winner this year.
Right. JP Gervais from Farm Credit Canada noted this when he was talking to reporters on this StatsCan report recently, that the cannabis numbers skew the income figures a little bit, in the sense that it has resulted in several billions of dollars, actually $2.3 billion in farm cash receipts from cannabis alone. And wow. that puts it ranking fourth in terms of cash receipts behind canola, wheat, excluding durum, and soybeans. So it's right up there. And as you noted, that not all provinces, including Manitoba, really had much in the way of cannabis production. I believe that was a bigger factor in Alberta and Ontario. And even then, I think it's fair to say that the cannabis farmers or producers aren't really, you know, the same people that are producing other crops like canola and wheat.
Mm-hmm. Now, if we subtract cannabis from the picture, obviously it looks like the picture isn't quite as rosy overall for net farm income, is it?
No, that's right. I think it's instead of a 6% increase, it's about a 2% increase. So almost a flat situation. And as Gervais from Farm Credit Canada pointed out, that on the whole, the last couple of years, farm cash receipts have been, you know, flat almost, whereas their expenses have been creeping higher.
Mm-hmm. Now, so that's the other side of the question, of course. If we could look past the revenue side of the ledger, what about expenses? I'm thinking there's inputs, there's machinery costs, and also debt interest is a big player.
That's one that Gervais noted, that there has been a big jump in interest costs to farmers, and which is a bit surprising given that interest rates are so low. Farm debt has gone up a fair bit in 2019, but the interest has jumped quite a bit. I believe it was, up $600 million or 16%. Wow. To $4.2 billion in interest expense. So that's quite a jump. Gervais isn't too terribly concerned, noting that farm debt is up, but presumably much of that debt has been taken on to make farm operations more efficient and over time to lower their costs and make them more profitable.
Mm-hmm. So Mr. Gervais from Farm Credit Canada, he does see, you know, some cause for optimism ahead, it looks like.
That's right. He, you know, on the crop side, for grain farmers in Western Canada in particular, he feels that, if we get a good crop this year, good production, there has been some issues like last year with the poor harvest and delayed harvest and so on, it could turn out to be a reasonably good year if we have a good crop, notwithstanding that expenses are up and prices are a bit flat. There's been some, depending on the commodity, grain, there's been a bit of strengthening here and there, like canola is up from a year ago, and wheat has been kind of bouncing around, but he feels that it could be not too bad of a year, but it all hinges on, of course, weather and of course markets going forward too. But right now he says if there's a good crop, an above average crop, it could bode well.
Mm-hmm. And once we flash forward a few months, though, from the end of 2019 into this year, of course, now we're in the midst of COVID-19, and you've got farm groups from across just about all sectors that are calling for federal aid, and they say that what's already been promised to them is too little, and in a lot of cases, too late. You know, what's the government's response been to that?
Yeah, as you know, the federal government came out with a aid package of $252 million rather, and farmers said that's just not enough. They're asking for about tenfold that, in the billions, and but I think the situation is a bit nuanced. You know, there's definitely been a hit to cattle and hog producers because of backup on the farm livestock due to shutdowns and slowdowns in meat processing. That's had an impact. But on the grain side, in the story I wrote, Kevin Hirsch, a Saskatchewan farmer, it was, you know, questioning whether Western grain farmers really need help right now. He's not ruling it out, but he points out that some expenses for Western farmers have gone down, including things like fuel and fertilizer, and some prices have improved a bit. So he questions whether Western grain farmers necessarily need COVID assistance right now. He doesn't think the case is made for that. Although he does point out in Ontario, corn and soybean producers, which both those crops are produced in Manitoba as well, their prices have been hit, corn by ethanol prices going down mm-hmm. in the United States, which is a reflection of both reduced demand for fuel due to COVID, and of course the issue with Saudi Arabia and Russia in a bit of a war to bring more product to market, which is driving down prices in an already depressed market. Soybeans have been hurt by the trade war between Russia or China and the United States. So those are two grains that have suffered more than maybe some of the traditional crops in Western Canada.
Mm-hmm. And if we zoom in even more and look at Manitoba specifically in your home turf here, you know, we don't have to look too far to find farmers who disagree with Mr. Hirsch's assessment.
Well, that's right. Keystone Agricultural Producers President has Mr. said Campbell, that. Yeah. Yes, Bill Campbell has said that that there is a hurt here, that you know, the federal government has said that farmers should be using the programs that are available, which includes Agrist Invest, which there's several billions of dollars of money in accounts there. But Campbell says that many farmers that are in need of money don't no longer have any money in their Agra Invest accounts. And as far as Agra Stability goes, of course, the concerns around that program are well known, that because of changes to it a few years ago under the previous government, it's not reacting as quickly or as much when farm incomes fall. And on that point, Kevin Hirsch still feels that Agra Stability brings some value to farmers, but there is a consensus, I believe, amongst farmers that program could be made to work better if the reference margin was restored to 85%. Then it would deal with a lot of issues, and of course, it would presumably make it less important or less of a need for farmers to ask for assistance if there was justification, no matter the cause, whether it's depressed prices or trade wars, then that program would kick in to help the farmers that need it. And that's, you know, the argument. If it was improved, it would maybe make the call for ad hoc assistance, you know, less of something that farmers have to do.
Mm-hmm. If they were able to make the program a little more predictable. I noticed you mentioned in your story too that the federal government has put up an online agri stability calculator. I mean, it doesn't provide an exact figure, but at least it provides sort of an estimate of what farmers can expect to get from the program, given the figures that get punched into the calculator.
That's right, and hopefully that could help farmers, give them some sense of what they might be able to get out of the program. And to perhaps repeat myself, Kevin Hirsch feels that the program Agri Stability has and does provide perhaps more benefits than some farmers are acknowledging. I guess that's maybe a matter of opinion, but with this calculator, they should, you know, get some insights to how it might, you know, work out on their farm. Myers Norris Penny also has a calculator and has had for a few years. And talking to some of the accountants at that firm, they also say that they feel that the program can be valuable to farmers. So it's something that I guess every individual farmer is going to have to assess on their own. I know most, though, at least the ones that I've spoken to, really feel that the program is inadequate and flawed.
Mm-hmm. And I guess if we want to find, if we want to see proof of that, I guess we'll be having to look ahead also to the end of 2020 when the final StatsCan numbers for this year come out as well. In the meantime, I guess we watch the skies and the markets and keep an eye on the evening news, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Alan Dawson is a reporter for the Manitoba Cooperator. Alan, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
You're listening to Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Dave Bedard. The past few weeks have seen renewed saber-rattling among world leaders, but it doesn't seem to have affected demand for crop exports as much as one might have expected. Bruce Burnett is Director of Weather and Markets with Glacier Markets Farm, and he joins us now. Bruce, welcome back to Between the Rows.
Good to be here.
Now, let's start with Chicago soybean futures, which starting last week seem to have picked themselves up out of a rut. It looks like soy is selling, but who's buying?
Well, we've seen actually a fair amount of business recently, mostly to China, as they've tried to live up to some of their obligations from the Phase One trade deal. Of course, that got derailed a little bit by the U.S. administration, which has put some sanctions in or is proposing some sanctions against Hong Kong. And in fact, late last week, rumors in the market were that the major Chinese government purchasing entities, COFCO and Sinograin, were told not to buy any more additional U.S. soybeans. So I think, again, we've seen some sales since then, whether those are cleanup sales that were already being negotiated or sales from private importers, it remains to be seen here. But I think, again, as we move into the summer period, we're going to see more and more purchases by China of North American soybeans, especially those from the U.S., because Brazil's starting to run out of soybeans to export, as they've had a very aggressive program here over the last few months.
Now, what's all this activity in soybeans going to mean for canola?
Well, again, I think canola is a little bit of a different market right now, mostly because of the fact that it seems to be more following the vegetable oil markets and a little less on the soybean side. We've seen very, very strong exports of canola. We're over 500,000 tons ahead of last year's export pace. The crush demand has been strong. Looks like we're going to have a close to record crush this year. So we're seeing some very, very strong demand on canola right now. And as we approach the end of the crop year, we're starting to see supplies tighten up, which is helping to support canola. Of course, there's only so much that canola can do by itself, so we do need some support from soybeans. But right now, it looks like canola fundamentals, at least anyway, are very positive.
Mm-hmm. And how about wheat? Our neighbors to the south are busy harvesting winter wheat right now. How's that coming along?
Well, I think there's mixed reports. Earlier on, there were some reports that the yields were really good. But as the harvest has moved into some of those frost-affected areas, let's say basically in parts of western Texas, western Oklahoma, and into southwestern Kansas, we're starting to see some of the impact of those freezes on crop quality as well as yields. So talking with a few farmers down there, some of the comments that come out essentially are lots of straw but very little yield in those types of fields. Again, it looks like the USDA this week is going to have to reduce the hard red winter wheat production estimate from their forecast of last month, just because the yields aren't turning out quite as well. The crop has also been stressed by some very hot and dry conditions here over the past 3 to 4 weeks. So we're also seeing in some of those areas, let's say up into northern Kansas, where the end of the season has not been nearly as ideal as farmers would like it. So again, that's going to lend some support. I would say, though, that overall the global wheat market is still fairly much well supplied. I don't anticipate the USDA to move their global numbers all that much, even though we've seen some deterioration in crops in parts of Europe and in the Black Sea region.
Mm-hmm. And what about corn? There seems to be some renewed optimism that corn is going to be on its way back into the fuel tanks of the Western world here.
Yes, again, as the economy starts to recover here, we should see ethanol demand pick up. And we've actually seen that in some of the EIA data, the Energy Information Agency in the U.S., where they are pointing to increased ethanol production over the past 3-4 weeks. Unfortunately, we're not nearly at the levels that we were pre the pandemic, and we need to see gasoline use recover quite a bit more before we get all of the ethanol plants back into action. But we are seeing a slight decline in ethanol stocks as economy starts to pick up, as well as, again, increased production to meet some of this demand. So it's going to be a slow process, but we should see, certainly over the next few months, increasing demand for ethanol. It's just not going to be up to the levels that we had seen, let's say, back in January or February.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, how about weather up here in Canada? Looking out the window right now, of course, it's we're in Winnipeg on Tuesday, and it's pretty overcast, and it's been raining off and on for the last couple of days here. What's up ahead this week, and how's that going to reflect on the situation out there?
Well, across Western Canada, we've had some pretty good rains over the past 2 weeks. In some cases, it's been too much, especially up in areas in northern Alberta, parts of central Alberta, where we've seen 2 weeks of fairly consistent rain here. Of course, those regions are still struggling to get the crop finished in terms of planting. So that's the one area I think that I have concern for excess moisture. In the southern growing areas, we've seen some better growing conditions this spring. Crops have been planted for the most part in southern Alberta, Saskatchewan, into Manitoba here. But again, we do have some dry spots still, I would say, especially in parts of southeastern Saskatchewan, stretching into southwestern Manitoba. Those areas have picked up a little bit of rain here, but again, over the past week or so, they've only had about half an inch. They would probably like to see another half an inch or two before the end of the month in order to get the soil moisture back to normal levels. Of course, these regions regions in eastern Manitoba that also are struggling with excess moisture. That's been from some very, very heavy rains down in the southeastern corner of Manitoba.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've just been seeing some reports of flooding down there. Certainly, I guess for one reason or another, we're all going to be watching the skies over the next few weeks. Bruce Burnett, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks.
Bruce Burnett is Director of Weather and Markets with Glacier Markets Farm. That's Between the Rows for this week. I'd like to thank our guests, Rob O'Connor, Laura Rantz-Unker, Alan Dawson, and Bruce Burnett. We'll be back next week with more from the Glacier Farm Media family of publications. I'm your host this week, Dave Bedard.
Between the Rows podcast is brought to you by Glacier Farm Media and sponsored by FCC Ag Expert, Canada's number one field and accounting software. Try it for free at agexpert.ca.